Have you been following the playoffs this year that much?
What, NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No, Pokemon.
I don't know.
Explain Barrel podcast for January 14th, 2016. This is Mike Noddy.
Wow, that was solid.
My brain was going 100 miles.
Oh, God.
For hours. I was like, So, how's it going, everyone? So, today we're doing a little theme park episode. We're kind of talking about some of the changes coming to Disney parks, mostly the stateside ones this year, and maybe a little Universal. But, so Star Wars, Leia, and Avatar, all that fun stuff. So, this is kind of just a loose thing, but this is not fun to talk. We haven't really done a theme park episode. We love theme parks.
We have not, yes.
Especially Disney, so we'll do that. We'll do the specials then. So, kind of the big thing that triggered this is the Disney Parks blog released a concept art of what the new Rivers of America will look like. Like, basically the day before they closed all that stuff.
Yes, this is Disneyland, California. Mm-hmm. You have to remember, some of our listeners may not know what Rivers of America means.
Right, sorry about that. Rivers of America is that little river that goes around Tom Sawyer Island Frontierland. In both parks. Yes. But specifically, this is the original. So, and the concept art looked really, really gorgeous. So, kind of like, the big thing is that the train moves closer as it does, like, that S-curve, kind of, like, on the outer edge of where Star Wars Land will be. It does that, an S-curve, so it's, like, right by the river, and it's on a...
goes over the river, right, like a trusseted bridge.
Right, it's very... looks so much worse. I wonder if they're going to have to do some more, like, safety precautions on the train now, because usually it's just, like, I don't know, there's not much of, like, a gate or anything keeping you in there. Now
the
that we're, like, going over a river...
different.
The one faces out, but not all of them.
Yeah, you're right. There has to be a gate now that we're going
like
over
a
water.
Fence. Yeah, now that there's like a high point to fall off.
Yeah.
So
good point.
Yeah, but the Indian village is still there. There's like these extra water features behind it. It looks very nice. Obviously, it's a concept, and who knows if it'll.
Actually, yeah, but it looks super
it looks
rad.
Super nice. So basically, yeah, like, kind of what we thought. They cut off part of the island, kind of the top part that really wasn't much to it before.
There was no guest accessible area in that part of the island. It was just little vignettes you saw from the Mark Twain riverboat.
Right. Basically, the only downside of this is that going around like the river is going to be shorter because the river is shorter. That's not a huge deal to me to get a whole Star Wars.
That's still a plenty long ride.
I mean, it's still enough for some Disney fans to get outraged over.
Of course, anything.
Right. Honestly, I mean, God, they
changed the doorknobs.
And, God, they got rid of the maelstrom and everybody freaked out.
It's interesting. I forgot about this, so I read it somewhere, but. It's funny to think how where Star Wars Land is going was originally supposed to be Discovery Bay.
Discovery Bay. What was that again?
That was the original proposed new land where a lot of the concepts from it ended up in Epcot. Like, that's where kind of Dreamfinder was supposed to come from.
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, really?
That's weird. Not too much, really.
Really? Oh, yeah. It was supposed to be like this kind of whole adventurous society kind of early 20th century theme.
So kind of like early 20th century. Okay, so not like Discovery Land in Disneyland Paris, which is like
more Jules Verne. No. This was I think San Francisco was supposed to be like kind of an inspiration point for
weird.
It. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't know anything about this.
I don't know
too
much about it.
Tony Baxter.
Okay,
that had a lot to do with the design. Okay. A lot to do with it.
For a long time, they kind of like. Once they built out, past Frontierland and do New Orleans Square, the kind of expansion area, or so everybody thought, was going to be right next to Main Street, kind of between Main Street and Tomorrowland.
That's where Edison Street was supposed to go.
Edison Street and then Liberty Street, I think. So like that, and that's like where you had concepts for things like Hall of Presidents and stuff that eventually, basically that stuff led to Liberty Square and Disney World.
Right.
But then that all kind of got built up with offices and stuff, and it's not a whole lot of room anyways. Which is too bad, because it would make more sense, because then you can have Star Wars Land by Tomorrowland.
Right.
In a way.
So. I just don't think it's enough space for what they want to do.
No.
It's pretty big.
Right, exactly.
Like, when you look at the map with all the superimposed land, it's by far the biggest thing there.
It's going to be interesting, because they're going to have to do a pretty good job of kind of walling it off, I think, a little bit. Maybe not too much, because they picked this... Especially when you look at that concept art with the waterfalls and stuff, like, of the train and the concept art they released for Star Wars Land, it almost looks like there's going to be some water features in this planet anyways.
Right, well, it looks like a foresty planet, so I'm sure, like, you can kind of naturally transition into it.
I think there's a good reason why it's a foresty planet, because it has to literally be because the separation between that and Frontierland has to be trees. So, which makes a lot of sense. I wonder, like, how easy it's going to be to get in and out of Star Wars Land.
I'm sure it'll have, you know, think like Tomorrowland now. Like, it's kind of got, like, the main entrance.
Right.
But there's little paths and nooks that go in and out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because, yeah, if there's just one, there's going to be, like, a bottleneck.
It's like, I mean, look, well, you've never been, huh? But, like, that's kind of a problem with Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line just to get into the place in the morning if it's a busy day.
Right.
Like, even if you don't want to do the ride, if you just want to go in the shops, you have to, like, stand in a line to get into the land, which is kind
of
nuts.
Well, and then that's kind of part of the conceit of the fiction there, too, is that, like...
You have to go through that brick wall.
Right, there shouldn't be, like, a big... Right, it's not just like... kind of get to kind of play along a little bit, so that's interesting. But, oh, shoot, I was going to say something else about it. Oh, yeah, it is interesting. It's kind of like the Harry Potter where it's, like, on the opposite end of the park from where you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder if there's going to... Because, like, Disneyland is already such a crowded, popular park. It's, like, is that, you know... Are all the new people going there? Is just the expansion of it going to be enough to cover that? Or is the whole park just going to be even more crowded than ever? Kind of unseemly, so...
Well, I look at it this way. First of all, yeah, I mean, that'll obviously suck a lot of people into it. But I think it's going to encourage more people to also be going to California Adventure as well.
I hope so, yeah. But, because, like, even now, like, even with all the stuff they add to California Adventure, I mean, Disneyland Park is still more popular and more crowded.
Mm. I mean, you could kind of look at Universal the same way. Like, when Harry Potter opened, a lot of those people were over in Hogwarts. They weren't necessarily filling up the entire park.
Right, but I feel like before that opened, there was probably already a pretty even distribution between their two parks.
I'd say it was probably more Islands of Adventure.
Maybe a little bit. But now they just have both of them, and then right. They have that train. So maybe they need the monorail to go to Star Wars Land and take them to Cars Land. That'll be a thematic disaster. So, but it is interesting just how much stuff they have to close. really, it's not even so much the There Was America stuff. The boat, you know, that sucks. And Fantasmic kind of hurts. But I think just losing the train is a big deal.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
Well, it's nice. Maybe two. But what's nice what they're doing is the trains are still like...
Yeah,
they're parked in specific areas, so like kind of like by the main one and in Frontierland. And they have those conductors there to talk to you. And I like that for two reasons. First off, these conductors still have a job. I think that's nice. And again, you know, it's nice that you can come. It actually is kind of a neat experience because you can do something a little different. You can really see the train.
Yeah, get up close and personal with them. And the conductor will show you around a bit.
Right. So that's nice, I think.
Which actually, now that I think about it, it's kind of a neat opportunity that is only going to exist for these 2 years.
Right, again. Oh, totally. Who knows at what point. Well, it is weird, like, once they do this, there's not going to be a whole lot more expansion room in Disneyland.
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. And I still have a question of, like, how that works with, like, Star Tours being, like, complete opposite side of the park from, like, the rest of the Star Wars stuff, right? It's a little weird.
I mean, maybe they just kind of don't worry about it.
I think that's kind of their option.
You know?
Do you think there's any chance to just move it? I think it might...
There's a small chance.
Those simulators are huge.
I know.
That's the problem.
Wasn't that, like, the story, like, when they brought them in, they had to, like, take the... building apart,
yeah.
To get them in.
Right, they took the roof off of the old Adventures Through Inner Space ride that was there. So yeah, it is a silver. I still like to think it would be cool if somehow, like, you go, after you go through Star Tours, like, somehow
there's... Come off in Star Wars,
right.
Land.
I don't mean, it's way too far away to make that work somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of one of the things... It is one of the reasons why I think the Hollywood version could maybe work better, just because they haven't really said where this is going yet. But there's plenty of options to put it right next to Star Tours, because there's a lot of... Star Tours is kind of surrounded by either empty land or things that are old and could probably go away.
Yes.
So right behind it, and you're showing me this, are these wetlands. And you can tell me about that.
Yeah, so...
Look at a map.
Disney filed the permitting paperwork. So on the southern edge of Hollywood Studios, which is kind of right behind Star Tours, Indiana Jones, and like the Streets of America... it's wetland that they propose to rezone, and then they're going to zone new wetland space on the other side of
the
highway.
Going,
yeah, because they try to maintain a certain percentage of wetland. Mm. And I wonder, because, so you, not to jump ahead too much, but so with Toy Story Land coming, like, that's kind of being built behind Toy Story.
Yeah, we know where that's going.
And we know, like, the entrance for the ride is going to get flipped. Mm. I wonder if the same thing doesn't happen with Star Tours.
So, okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
maybe.
Like, because right now, Star Tours has, like, this weird dual facade where part of it looks like Endor with an AT-AT. The other side kind of looks like Tatooine. And they're not too, like, that was more built when it was, like, it's a studio set. Because, like, when you go right. on the other side of the AT-AT and the trees, you can see the back sides are fake and everything.
Well, originally the shop was Endor themed as well.
Right.
Which almost makes more sense because that's where you go at the end of the ride.
Yeah, but that was also where you started.
What was the shop called? And it was Endor's. It had a cutesy name.
Yeah, now it's Tatooine Traders.
But yeah.
I forget.
But anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it would make sense just to move it so you don't have to worry about that facade clashing with everything, and you just give it some new cover that blends into the new
land. It'll be kind of neat, actually, to finally to see, like, a Star Tours building that maybe actually really does embrace that starport.
Yeah, because, like I said, that ride still, like, when you're walking into it, retains that sense of you're entering an active movie set.
Right, but then, like, once you're in, it's like, oh, you're inside an airport.
Yeah, yeah, especially since they changed the ride.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it is interesting. If they develop all that wetland, again, they haven't said what they're going to do, but if they do that, they could almost get rid of nothing. Maybe Indiana Jones and the Backlot Express, which is a restaurant. You know, it's interesting because I'd be sad to see Indiana Jones go, but man, has it had a long run.
Yeah, right. Like, no one can say that they give that its fair shot.
As far as, like, you know, sometimes there's, like, those shows, like the actors and stuff. You can only see them, like, maybe every once in a while. That's one of the few ones I could probably do every time.
Yeah.
And enjoy it a lot. We've all got to be one of the stunt people, too, which is super fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Right. But that is a fun show, though. But it takes up a lot of space. So,
I wonder what its crowd performance is. I feel like it's usually pretty full whenever I'm there.
Yeah,
but
I think it does all right. I mean, Indiana Jones is pretty evergreen, mm-hmm. which is nice. I'll tell you what, if they do close, they gotta do another Indiana Jones something.
Yeah. Well, then, again, even that show still is, like, we're filming! Look at these cameras we
See,
have!
I kind of like that. I know some people think it's cheesy, well, but it is kind of, it doesn't, like, jive with the whole park anymore.
Right, it made sense that when the park opened, but, like, they come out with these Panavision film cameras that are clearly fake.
Man, like, I tell you what, when I was a kid, I was kind of confused. I was like, what are we filming
here? I thought this movie came out.
I will miss, like, that Hollywood studio, or MGM studios, like, actual kind of studio stuff, because, you know, but especially back then, there was a much more of a mystique behind movie
making.
Yeah,
like, oh, they're, like, making movies right over there.
Right.
Like, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen can be right over there. Oh, my God.
It's a great lie. But, yeah, something about the backlot. Like, I think it is a good theme for a park. It's just, I don't know.
I told you my suggestion for a new name.
I don't like
and
it.
And I think it's solid. Disney's Hollywood Land.
You can't, because the land prefix goes, or suffix goes on everything at, like, that's like Tomorrowland, Discovery Land.
All right, fine. You got Star Wars Land, you got Toy Story Land, you've got Sunset Land.
Sunset Boulevard Land.
You got Chinese Theater Land. You got lands, okay, if that's your concern.
So one is originally I thought that they would kind of put all Star Wars Land where Echo Lake is, but if they do this wetland thing, they really won't have to get rid of that.
Well, the problem with putting it, I mean, if you're in Echo Lake, you're butted right up against the center park.
It might be a little much.
It's too close. It needs to be out a little bit. But and again, you talk Disneyland's doing this, and so will this in theory. You always put this new stuff kind of in the back.
Yeah, kind of gets people to walk through.
Exactly.
Right. Plus, I don't think they want to get rid of some of the dining they have there.
No, that's where most of it is.
Especially
50s prime time.
And Peavey's Polar Pipes.
Can't
go away. One of the few Rocketeer references in the park.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can't get rid of that. So, but, yeah, it'll be interesting because, well, one thing, I feel pretty confident Muppets is going to be safe, which is kind of one of my big concerns.
Yeah.
So, hopefully Muppets will be all right because I love that show. And they already pretty much got rid of it in California Adventure.
Yeah, it's, like, there, but they use that theater for, like,
they built that late. It was kind of weird that they even built it. It wasn't even their opening day.
It wasn't? Oh, that's right, it wasn't. Weird.
They built it. They're kind of bizarre.
They must have been desperate for stuff back then.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah. So,
out of theater.
Yeah, about there. Refresh my memory. The other side of where Toy Story Mania is, is there anything there right now? Such as old backlot stuff.
Old backlot stuff. So, I mean, Toy Story Mania, the ride itself already took up a lot of old sound stages.
Right.
Beyond that, it's actually where a lot of those production facilities used to drive through on the tram tour were.
Right.
So I assume those are just getting torn down.
Right.
Some of it might get repurposed.
Interesting.
It was that. It was, you know, studio offices were back there.
I'm going to laugh if Honey, I Shrunk the Audience place that somehow survives all of this.
Well, like, what else do you, like, there's nothing else that could go in that spot.
It's completely demolished that area. It's kind of like the weird thing about, like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So all the only thing I can think of
is, like, you're going to retheme it to a Bug's Life?
I'm going, I hope that, like, it survives long enough for your kids to, like, go in and I can watch them play in the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience place.
Go down the giant roll of Kodak film, kids. The what?
Understand this reference. Oh, God. So, but yeah, that's like the park with the biggest changes, besides, you know, that and Disneyland, but even Hollywood more. And that park could even be hurting kind of more because they have so many things just closed. Not right, especially after the tram tour kind of closed down.
Well, the tram tour closing was, I think, the start of all of this.
Right.
Because, like I said, the production facility is going to be absolved in the Toy Story. And
probably Light Splitter's Action is probably going
to be. Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Like,
that takes so up so much. So if Light Splitter's
Action and Catastrophe Canyon go away, like, that's kind of far away from where we're thinking Star Wars Land
That's
goes.
Not Star Wars. That's going to be more Pixar stuff.
You think?
Well, that's what Jim Hill has always said, is that this Toy Story Land. And Jim Hill's a lot, he's kind of a guy who writes a lot about this Disney stuff. Toy Story Land is just one part of a giant Pixar thing that'll eventually also encompass like a Monsters, Inc. section that'll finally have that roller, that door roller coaster.
We've been talking about for 20 years.
And like an indoor version of Cars Land.
Yeah.
So like they would have that Cars ride that they have in California, but it'll be all indoorsy. So, and you know, it kind of makes sense. There's enough room back there for it. So that's why I'm inclined to believe him.
Yes.
All right, so Epcot, big thing, it's happening right now. I think they already closed Soarin'.
It's supposed to reopen this summer.
Right, it's not going to take long. Well, they're opening the third theater, and then they're going to have the new film. So that's happening soon, because it's going to be right around time Shanghai Disneyland opens, because that's kind of, I think, what finally nudged them to finally make the new film, because they wanted a Soarin' ride in Shanghai Disneyland. But, you know, obviously they're not going to do California there. Right, right. Also, it was like a stretch already for Epcot. But, so yeah. So now we're going to have the Soarin' around the world. Even still, it's still kind of funny that we have like a world-themed ride in Future World, not World Showcase.
It's pretty close to World Showcase.
Fair, yeah, right? Sure.
I think maybe you're technically on World Showcase.
Yeah, you can see it behind Canada, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's happening. And that's a big deal, but I feel like it's also going to hurt them, because that's like their most popular ride there. Even well, have it closed a bit.
5 months is probably the least damage they
could
have done.
I almost thought that they would just keep the other theaters open, but I guess with the kind of construction...
Well, no, I mean, they've been built... That third one's pretty much done.
Right, I guess it's like the integrate, like there's like tunnel work or something.
Yeah, well, now you have to connect it, and then you have to... I'm sure there's other upgrades to the ride besides just dropping a new film in the camera.
Right, so it'll be interesting to see what that's all like. But, I mean, that ride is already so popular. I'm sure this is going to help. But, yeah, if you go to that park right now, well, because, I mean, Maelstrom is obviously closed. And that's coming by the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Frozen Ever After, which a lot of people
that'll
are angry
about. That'll draw the
crowds. I'm not too... Like, I do hope it's not just going to... I hope it doesn't turn, like, World Showcase into, like, a children madhouse. I don't think it will.
No, I predict this ride having the kind of draw that Peter Pan's Magical Flight has.
Sure.
Like, nothing too crazy, but it always has, like, at least a 40 to 50-minute wait.
I think it'll be good. I mean, God, let's be honest. Epcot desperately needs something to appeal to some kids a little bit. Especially with imagination gone and sucking now.
Mm.
Or, you know, essentially gone. But I'll tell you what. And, you know, all this stuff happening, other things. Future World is going to kind of...
It's next.
It has to be. Because, I mean, like I said, you're going to have Soarin' update. That would be kind of like the one big, newish thing ever. And you Test Track is good. You updated that not too long ago. But besides that, I mean, Spaceship Earth. That's fine. Ellen's Energy Adventure, old. Wonders of Life, closed. Mission Space, that never really quite did what it was supposed to do. That was not the big e-ticket experience they were hoping for.
Yeah.
Seas is fine. Land is fine, Guinness, but Imagination is a disaster. Right now, it has a very bad dark ride in a movie theater that's just showing 3D shorts.
Yeah.
So.
And the old ImageWorks is apparently being turned into a Disney Vacation Club members lounge, well, which is nice. At least they're doing something with it. But
Inside Out has to come to the rescue of at least one of those pavilions, because you can do something completely Inside Out with either Imagination or with
Wonders of Life.
Both of those that's a perfect fit.
I mean, I think it goes, if it's in Imagination, the only thing that makes me sad is I want Dreamfinder back.
I agree.
Well, especially since they did those comics. I really want Dreamfinder back.
I agree. And I hope we're getting there. Maybe it will just happen. But A movie will definitely be good. Some kind of movie. It's hard to do, like, a new 3D movie to get people excited about.
Yeah, because we see those all the time now.
You see it all the time. That they don't know what to do with all these 3D theaters they built. That's why so many of them are just turning to, like, preview centers for movies.
Yeah.
Or why, like, freaking Captain EO, when it came back, and ended up coming back for almost, you know, 8 years or whatever it was.
Yeah,
like,
for a temporary run.
What else are you going to do? Make a new 3D movie? No one cares anymore.
Well, let me ask you that. Like, I don't know if you could think off the top of your head, like, how do you differentiate, like, a theme park movie thing from anything else, aside from, like, oh, you got wet.
Yeah, you have to. Well, I think you have to do those kind of effects. I mean, I think the most successful ones to me have been Muppets and PhilharMagic. Just because, I don't know, there's something about those experiences that works a bit better. Like, well, Muppets, you have, like, the animatronics, and it works well because, you know, they're Muppets.
Right.
So they look real. And that's just such a good film, too. It's so funny. And, you know, like, the whole experience of that, I love. Like, that's another one, too, of all the three movies. I can do that every single time with the intro. And then PhilharMagic, that's just, like, a good fit for being in Fantasyland. It's kind of like the Disney best of thing, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. Especially now. Like, even if you do an Inside Out movie, I mean, what the heck? I assume you kind of do it like the screen would be, like, you know, the viewfinder thing they have. So, maybe if you had, like, animatronics, everybody in front of it, almost kind of like a Cranium Command setup.
Yeah, I mean,
something. I don't know. But again, when I say that, I'm like, why don't you do a ride? You know? Do something really cool. Especially on Megara, there's that train.
Like, well, I was going to say, like, in the universe of energy.
Yeah, that's what do you do with that?
Well, so I've never done these, but, you know, they have all these new experiences on the tram tour at Universal Hollywood where you're, like, going through tunnels with 3D projected screens.
Yeah.
You could do something with that in that space, with those, even those same vehicles moving through corridors that have these really crazy effects going on.
Those vehicles are so interesting because they are like gigantic.
Yeah, and they're literally trackless.
They're literally like moving movie theaters, like rows. There's something you got to do there. Again, it's like, it's hard. Can we just make another ride about energy? Is that going to play in 2016? I don't know. Maybe.
It's the universe of energy.
The universe of energy. Here we go. See it flow. It's the universe of energy. Oh, man. But I don't know. And I can't really think of a property. Looks like you have Iron Man's, like, arc reactor. I don't know.
Well, but they can't do Marvel
exactly.
In Florida. Yeah, for a second, I was like, no, wait, can't do that.
Maybe when they figure that out, you can put Iron Man in Universe of Energy. It's just not terrible. Now they say it, I'm like,
now you've said it out loud, you're like, wait a minute.
That's not awful.
Wait a minute.
Tony Stark kind of belongs in Future World, doesn't he?
There's kind of meat on these bones.
Right, huh. So yeah, there's that. So there's, okay, solve that problem, maybe. I'll just gotta get some lawyers up there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Future World's next. Animal Kingdom's got a ton of stuff going on. Rivers of Light in Avatar Land. And we've been hearing about Avatar Land for so long now, I just want it to open.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird too, because, like, especially, it's like everyone's looking past it in a way to Star Wars Land.
Yeah, right? Like, they kind of leapfrogged it in a weird way. Right. I mean, I understand why they had to.
Right. But yeah, it does kind of feel like the excitement.
What was announced first, Avatar or Harry Potter?
Oh, Harry Potter was.
Was it?
Don't yeah.
That's how long it feels,
but yeah. I mean, yeah, Avatar Land is probably like, it's got to be opening this year, right?
I don't actually know. Let me see.
I hope so. It has to open like this year. It's January. It has to open this year. It's got to by the end of the year. It'll need that. Avatar. I am interested in just like how full day park-ish Animal Kingdom gets. Just being in that park at night, I can't even picture it.
Opening date is early 2017, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Fine. Well, the Rivers of Light will be done soon, at least, their night show, so that'll be nice. How much more work do they have to do? They built Disneyland in, like, a year, is all I'm saying. They used to build
They announced the deal for Avatar Land September 20th, 2011.
That's like when Harry Potter opened, I think, 2011. So yeah, it was at least, because it was definitely a reaction to that.
Right.
It was like, we need a property, and we can't do Marvel, and we haven't bought Star Wars yet. So yeah, it will be interesting. I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting to see when those sequels come out. People still care about Avatar. That's kind of my one thing.
Well, you have to separate, like, what drew people to Avatar? Was it the 3D experience? Was it like the fact that a movie like that had never been made, because those movies have been made. So, like,
right.
Like, do they have some weird new tech up their sleeves? Or are they really going to try to make it work on the narrative story?
It's like, when I think about, like, the cultural impact left behind by Avatar, like, you think about, like, movies, like, you know, Terminator or Star Wars or whatever. There's always, like, you call them memes for lack of a better word, but, like, these moments, these things people always say. What does people ever say from, like, Avatar? Maybe they make fun of unobtainium?
I see, like, so, like, you.
Yeah. is that... do they even... I guess. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not with people, like, hating on Avatar, but it's a little curious. But, yeah, so Animal Kingdom's, you know, I guess still another year to wait till that's all ready to go.
Yep.
I don't know what else you gotta do there. I feel like they were hoping that The Good Dinosaur would be a bigger hit so they could put some of that in Dinoland. Because Dinoland's starting to feel a little kind of old, especially once this opens. But again, it's like, you know, it kind of works. So, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how, like, that dinosaur ride, for as, like, technology missed, it never has much of a line anymore.
So good, though. It's a good ride.
I think you need at least rework it so that you don't have to watch that, like,
that video movie. Every
they,
time.
Remember in the 90s how much they
every
loved?
Every ride had every a pre-show video.
Every ride, you would, before you, like, you got into a line to go see, to go step into a dark room with video screens to watch, like, a safety video. And then, like, and it also, it kind of set up the plot, which was, it's kind of nice in a way, because it can set up a bit more story than usual. But it's just like, when you're repeat riding, oh my gosh, you see this video every time.
Yeah, everyone, you can see the people who know, because they're, like, just shuffling their way through the room to get by the door so when it opens, they can, like, basically cut the line.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, like, Test Track got rid of that finally. Mission Space probably still has it. Mission Space is, like, the last one. They're like, all right, enough. Okay, so, but Magic Kingdom's not much going on, because they obviously just, they did a lot there.
Yeah,
already.
They got Fantasyland.
They got Fantasyland.
California Adventure, obviously, is pretty Adventure set is for a while.
Pretty set for a little bit. Although, they just closed the Aladdin musical show there, because they're putting in a Frozen one. So, of course, everyone's complaining, because it's Frozen replacing anything. So, yeah. But that part goes, and obviously, they're going to get the new Soarin' 2 at some point, so. Yep. Yeah, they're good to go. So, yeah, that's it for the, I think we'll end it there. We'll just stop at the Disney parks, and that's good. So, special zone. My bad. Bonus round. Special zone. I beat Breath of Fire 4.
What'd you think?
That was good. I mean, it wasn't like spectacular. I got annoyed because, like, the whole game basically didn't have, like, big dungeons at all. Like, most areas with random encounters, like, maybe 5 screens, like, a doorway here or there. But, like, all of a sudden at the end, it was, like, one of the longest dungeons I've ever seen in a game. And it's annoying because of the way the game's set up, there aren't that many, like, MP or AP, whatever, like, restoring items.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, like, you know, you just have to go until and hope you don't run out of MP before you find, like, a safe place so you can rest.
Yeah, jeez.
That's why I kind of like the trend with, like, a lot of turn-based games now where, like, after every battle, you're just
healed.
You're just healed.
Yeah.
I like, because it becomes more about just, like, each battle is interesting instead of, like, the gauntlet, like, surviving that. And again, especially when, like, your MP matters so much. So, but yeah, I mean, it was fine. The sprite work was very good. The camera was annoying. Story was all right. It was fine. It's. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're, like, a diehard JRPG fan who's already played a bunch of other ones already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, okay. I don't know what I'm doing next. I think I'm going to review the new Fire Emblem soon, so I might not be jumping into one.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, get...
You might want to save that.
Fire Emblem's going to be, like, 3 games in one.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, so that's going to be nuts. So, yeah, that's about it.
So, I dove into... what's the guy's name? Davey... something. He made the Stanley Parable.
Okay.
So I played first before the Stanley Parable, which is probably out of order. I played this game that he released called The Beginner's Guide. Have you heard of this?
No.
Very strange experience. I don't actually know if I enjoyed it, but I don't think that's the point.
Okay.
So they tell you, like, it takes an hour and a half. Just block off an hour and a half and play it. And the idea is you start the game and Davey himself is, like, talking to you. And he's like, hey, I'm Davey, blah, blah, blah. I made the Stanley Parable and... I'm here today to show you some games that were made by a friend of mine, this guy named Coda. He, like, and he explains, like, this guy would always make all these weird little games. He never released them, and he wanted to show them to people because this guy got out of game development. He really wants him to get back into it. And the first thing you're in is the first Counter-Strike map this guy ever made.
Yeah.
Like, it's very meta.
Weird.
Like, he talks about how everything's using the Source engine. He explains how the engine affects things, and you kind of just go through all these weird little experiences while he's explaining stuff to you. But it turns slowly into this thing, like, the games get kind of weird and disturbing, and he's, like, worried this guy was suffering, like, depression, uh-huh. And he just wanted to help
his friend. Is that a fictional guy?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil what happens, but, like, you know, it comes, like, this weird climax. Cool. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's worth checking out. But I did go back and finally start the Stanley Parable, which
that's
I must have
game.
Bought as on a Steam sale. I've beaten it a couple times.
Yeah, right.
It's super neat, though. Like,
it's fun. As you can see why it was a thing.
Mm-hmm. And much like the Stanley Parable, The Beginner's Guide 2. They're not like so much games as they're just, you're just kind of walking down a corridor and turning.
Right, right, sure.
There's not a lot of game
but
to it.
Like, but yeah, but it's still like, it's
but they're neat experiences. They're fun. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I was playing a bunch of that and.
We played some Haunts, some Heroes of Storm. We
played Gen Greymane, the new hero. Yeah,
he's super fun. I like him a lot. You're playing Rexxar. I don't really like Rexxar.
I like Rexxar.
He's got his pet.
Once you get used to just basically mashing the E key to heal Misha, the
yeah, I guess constantly. Yeah,
that's like kind of the trick is just keeping your bear alive.
There's no reason not to heal him, I guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty short cooldown on it, so yeah, you just want to kind of let that fly.
Yeah, maybe we'll play more.
It was frustrating the match we played because I was alone in the top lane against the Sergeant Hammer, so she just like set up and just waited for Misha to wander into her range of fire and just started poking the crap at him. I was like, oh, this is annoying.
Right, I couldn't really, like, I was in a mid lane with, like, a support.
Yeah.
Once we got past the lane.
Once we got to the team fight phase, yeah, I was like, I got this.
It is funny just, like, how short that laning phase really is.
Yeah, which
like,
is fun. You know, are they ever going to release that arena mode they showed off? Like,
oh, I don't know.
They even said, like, we don't know if we'll release this or not. I'm like, then why are you showing it on, like, your keynote presentation at BlizzCon?
That's right, yeah.
Like, leave that with a trailer made for it.
Right. Weird. So, I think that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. Let us know what you think, because this is a little bit different. We did a theme park-y kind of episode. I know, I think a lot of our listeners kind of have interest in this stuff, though, so.
Yeah, at least we talked about Star Wars. You guys like Star Wars.
Sure, right? So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.